Calling to order the Board of Directors Oceano Public Comment. Any public comment? Seeing none, we will be adjourning to closed session. Ryan?
Yes, Madam President, members of the Board. The Board will adjourn to a closed session to consider the following items. Closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 to consider the appointment or employment of a public employee. The position under consideration is the general manager. In addition, we'll be going to a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B to meet with agency's legal counsel concerning pending litigation. The litigation in question is the litigation known as Santa Maria Groundwater Litigation in Santa Clara County, lead case CV770214.
Thank you. All right, great. We'll go in the back for closed session. I guess, because we only... Should we stay here, or we only have two public?
We can... It's...
Yeah.
Your call.
Yeah, I think Lynn and Raphael, if you guys could go in the lobby. Yeah, close down, please. Back in session. Ryan.
Yes, Madam President, directors, public. With regards to the closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B to meet with the agency's legal counsel concerning pending litigation, which is the Santa Maria Groundwater Litigation in Santa Clara County, case CV770214, as given instruction to offer employment of the general manager position to Mr. Rafael Montemurro and have accepted and approved of an employment agreement which had previously been approved by Mr. Montemurro. Mr. Montemurro, if you'd like to come up, we're going to ask you to go ahead and sign this agreement and any comments that you would like to for the board.
Ryan, it was unanimous vote to...
I'm sorry, thank you. Unanimous decision by the board.
Well, I'll just take a few minutes because the agenda is very interesting and the budget is extremely important. I want to thank the board for your support and the opportunity to serve, and I look forward to working with the challenges that we have as far as budgets and water rates. Thank you for your confidence.
I would like to take this opportunity to welcome our new general manager. We're so delighted that you're going to be working with us and for us, and it couldn't have happened at a better time. We're just delighted that you're here, and I hope that the public will come out and come in and meet you, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy working here. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I look forward to it in the public. That will be one of my first announcements. We always, always have an open door policy. Their constituents should know what their expenditures are used for, and you know, we'll be glad to give you that information. Thank you.
We won't be discussing specifics about the litigation itself. I think the board all felt that it is important information, and would like everyone who is interested to please attend those meetings.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would strongly encourage people in Oceana who get water.
Your mic's not on.
I don't know how to turn it on.
Oh, okay.
That you do show up for the meeting, so you know when the rates start to change, you're fully aware of where your water comes from, how much our little town uses. And so the dates are, once again, what were they, Ryan?
I believe October 14th and October 28th.
Okay. And is there any, and those notices will be posted on the front window, correct?
I believe everything is posted. Are all agendas posted on the front window? Yes.
And please feel free to call the office if you don't remember the time. And the phone number for the office is 481-6730.
And the other thing we might do is put the announcement on the water bills that are going out this month so that people are aware. I think that will be happening very shortly. I don't know if it can get on there or not.
I'm not sure that...
It might not make it.
They
might have gone out already.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
We could also contact the newspapers in the area and see if they'll put an announcement in.
And I'll certainly post them at my place.
Okay. Thank you.
In Grover Beach.
Board member items for discussion.
Barbara, may I ask for an agenda change, if that's possible?
Yeah, I was just going to do the board member and then move that up.
Thank you.
Any board member items for discussion at this time? Jim?
Just to welcome Rafael Montemurro and also to thank Kevin Walsh for his expertise on water, which he's used to our benefit here in his time. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Vern?
Yeah, same thing. You know, welcome. It's going to be great to have you here. Kevin, thank you for, you know, the benefit that we've gained from your time here.
Thank you.
You've done an excellent job. Thank you.
And I, too, would like to welcome Rafael and look forward to working with you in the future.
And I already said welcome to our new general manager. And Kevin, I want to thank you for everything that you've done for us this past year. I know it's been difficult, but thank you so much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Now, I'm going to change the agenda, move item 9C, which is a draft budget. We will be doing that now, so because Mary does need to leave after that.
Thank you, Madam President, for doing
that. You're welcome.
That. I guess you...
All right, Kevin.
Well, yeah, I've met with you all either by twos or singly on the budget. We've gone over it in quite a bit of detail. The administrative assistant, Gina Davis, was also in the meetings to assist with details on expenses and revenues. You've all made extensive comments in your meetings. And now, as the board, you need to determine what kind of changes you would like to see in the budget. We did receive, numerous suggested changes and additions and deletions as we went through mostly page by page with each one of you. And now, as the group in this public setting, you need to come to some sort of consensus or agreement on what you would like us to do to begin to prepare a final document. that will be brought to you at your October 14th meeting. So, Madam Chair, I'm not sure if we want to just go page by page. That might be the quickest.
Why not?
There's 90-some-odd pages.
Yeah.
There are not comments on every page. I would start actually at page 5, which is the introduction. There were no comments by any of the board members on page 5. Pages 6, 7, 8, and 9 are the resolutions to adopt the budget and also set the appropriations limit. Those resolutions have monetary figures that cannot be entered into the position be eliminated. That is a position that you do pay a small stipend to. Each of the three agencies here in the area, Grover Beach, Rio Grande, ourselves, each have their own chaplain. I'm imagining that when we go to full consolidation with the Joint Powers Agreement next July 1st, there'll probably be only one chaplain. But right now, each agency has their own. Now, what's that suggestion?
I don't think that would be a bad idea. Just to use one of the other two chaplains that are available.
The issue was not discussed with any fire department personnel.
Yeah.
I do have to mention that, and so I don't know what their view of that is. But
what do you think?
Good evening. Rio Grande and Grover Beach, each there are two chaplains over there. The chaplain that serves this community does not get utilized extensively, but he is a Spanish speaker and has a congregation here in Oceano. And he does receive, I believe, a small stipend on a monthly basis. There had been discussion of in the future with the JPA is creating cadre of three and rotating those three with a lead chaplain. Nothing has been decided on that. It's just been in discussion down the road in the future. I've only met the chaplain recently, and so I don't believe he has been utilized very much at all. But I'm a little agnostic on this issue. We have two available in the other jurisdictions, but I did not identify it. I believe it is identified that I remember in the budget and what that annual cost is. So
the stipend's about $125 a month.
Well, we were looking for places to cut pennies.
Yes.
Pennies add into dollars.
That's true.
Just back up for 1 second. I'll try to make it very, very quick. On page 5, the hours of operation, I had thought about that there's 2,700 accounts in that. Maybe it would be maybe a little cost effective if we were closed one day a week to cut down on overhead and other things. But I just,
I think a discussion of that, we're either right on top of it. I think maybe we're, it hits in the budgets for water and sewer and admin mostly. I suppose it's as good a place as any to talk about it. Maybe we ought to go to page 12 and have a couple of changes there, and maybe the board would like to discuss Mary Lucy's comments further. I will point out a couple of changes. In the full-time positions, and that should say, I'm just noticing, full-time positions at June 30, 2009, general manager, administrative assistant, office manager, I'd like to change office manager to secretary slash bookkeeper. The title secretary slash bookkeeper was used for years up until the last budget when it got changed to office manager. So if we retain that position, we'd like to put it back to secretary bookkeeper. That position is going to be vacant, and if the position is retained, then there will be a recruitment. And also under the fire department positions, which should also say at June 30, 2009, not 2008, right under fire chief, it should say battalion chief, parentheses shared, and then shared and shared over under the columns for current and requested. And then, of course, you've just struck fire chaplain shared. So those are the changes on that sheet. And I know there's been discussion at the board level before on what positions you wanted funded or not funded for next year. And then, of course, Director Lucy.
I remember that this budget is, it's not an actual real budget. It's what we hope for, you know. So it's what we, some of it, what we've seen come in past years, you know. And so it's up for change and debate constantly because it's alive. It's like our codification should be a living, breathing document, you know, constantly evolving. That's what your budget is too, because the year throws you curveballs, so you have to change things. So I thought, well, what would it save us to close the office one day a week?
Mary, were you every week one day, or more like the state where it was second, third, and fourth Friday or something like that?
I think that would be a staff call to say, okay, well, this is our slowest times, you know, of the week, you know, and try that. If
you want one day every week,
you know,
or just so many days a month?
Actually, I had a day and a half, but I don't know the scope of work.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe you know it.
No.
Or maybe somebody else, but you know, I'm just trying to go with the cost saving.
Yeah,
I know the scope of work so far has been to where we've been hiring out outside accounting help to get caught up. So we're utilizing the time that's there from the office staff.
Sorry to interrupt. Director Lucy, I've just been told that they're not picking your voice up. Can you move the microphone a little bit closer? Thank you.
I've had a concern for some time that I think our budget is going to, even by the most sanguine of estimates, be well over $100,000 more than on our expenses than our income this year. And so I've looked at ways to try to eliminate some of that, and I've suggested eliminating some administrative positions. And again, I note that we have four people that handle the entire utility department, and four or arguably five people in administration. One way to make a cut year, certainly, but I can't justify. It seems to me that we could probably cut $100,000 out of the administrative budget for staff. And Vern, your comment is needs to be addressed, and that is that we do occasionally hire temporary personnel to help with things like the audit, but that's a special talent that we have to hire because our own staff doesn't deal with audits. So we need to bring in people occasionally that do have that special talent. that I think we need. We're looking at the general manager, I think, had the most generous estimate that I heard when this was presented to me was a shortfall of $125,000. But I think we'll see that it's going to be a lot more than that. And I think we need to look at serious budget cutting down to the absolute minimum to get by, and before we entertain the idea of rate increases, which is another thing we're going to have to entertain. But I think we need to lean out the organization as much as absolutely possible before we do that.
Pam?
I wanted to speak to that issue because we have a new interim, new general manager coming on. Welcome. Sorry for calling you interim. And he hasn't had a chance to even come in and see how the office operates or how the district operates. I hate to cripple our office by having them closed one day a week. And we did speak to Gina about that. She is saying, well, which day would you be closed? Would you be closed Monday? Would you be closed Friday in the middle of the week? The particular thing in our district is we have about 70% of our people pay cash, come into the counter, into the office and pay cash. They may be at the very last day and the office is closed. So, I mean, the furlough idea is an option. I have another option too. The state used it, I think it was back in 1995 or 1994, and it was essentially salary savings there, and I thought it would be about $25,000, $26,000. It doesn't just stir up the office and change everything all at once, but it gives an option, and it gives people, they would still be working, they would be getting less pay, but they wouldn't be closed. It would be carried on the books. That's another option. I mean, there's furlough options, there's this option. I hate to really cut anything until we get our general manager on board so he can look and see what's going on. Then maybe we can look at it, but maybe we institute this very soon so we can start some savings while we're looking at it too. I'm not opposed to reorganizing if it's a feasible thing to do, but to just out of hand say we're going to do this right now, it doesn't make sense to me, especially when we have a new manager coming on board, and we'd like him to kind of make those decisions because he will be the one working with the office staff and the utility staff.
So, Madam President, so taking what the other director has pointed out, there was no plan to vote on this budget tonight, correct?
No.
No, what you're doing is giving direction to staff board
because
as
I
to
saw
how
the
you
motion
would
in here and everything, and so I wasn't quite sure. And the way the agenda was written, I wasn't quite sure if you had intended to adopt this tonight.
No, it's two bites at the apple on this one.
Okay.
This is our...
I assumed the possible action part, sorry, on the agenda. That's what it says, discussion and possible action. The only action would be to adopt.
Or direction to staff. That's an action of the board.
Yeah, to change certain things. That's what we're doing right now.
Okay.
Pamela, when you were talking about one day a month not being paid, I'm guessing that would be all the departments except for the fire department?
All the departments except for the fire department. It would be across the board except for the fire department. Actually, with the state, I'm still carrying my leave. We still have it, but it can be taken as personal leave, like a vacation after, at a time when you can do it. It just shifts your liabilities later on, but it also gives you the chance maybe to recoup. It gives you a little, it gives you some respite here. Anything will help.
Or having their rates raised, what the answer would be.
And how would that work out? A furlough would work out for a bare bones department like the water department, where somebody has to be on call 24/7. I mean, they don't have a 9 to 5.
What we do with Caltrans is they have an adjustable day off, furlough day off, and that's how our maintenance department does the work.
And so how many people are in that maintenance department?
Oh, thousands.
You see, we have a department of four.
Oh, I'm talking statewide. I mean, there's thousands of people.
We're talking about a department of four who are on 24/7.
I would defer to Phil on that case.
The water department. So I would put the water department over in the fire department in that sense. I would hold them harmless from something like that.
I'm not asking for furlough. I'm promoting the personal leave type of thing where the salary would be cut for everybody.
One day a month.
That's what I'm
so
saying.
So they still work and everything.
But yes, they still work.
Your proposal, though, is that they would be compensated with an alternating either a day off that could be redeemed for money later, or they would be paid at a later time. So you're really only talking about shoving off into the future.
You're shifting the liability for the time being.
Which does nothing to solve the issue that we're dealing with right now.
Well, I think it does go to solving the issue because I'm at a point where I do not want to change the administration or the utility staff. I want the general manager to come in and look at this. I don't want to cripple him with making these decisions outright. This would give a small respite and would have some salary savings. Could be put off later. I don't know that this district will see if it could operate with less people. That is really going to be up to the general manager. He's got a lot on his plate. So, and I don't want to cripple what he has to do by saying, oh no, we want to get rid of all of these people in an administration, when that may not be a possible thing to do. I'm trying to make what I consider a good management decision so there's time to work and still salary savings. So that was my plan. If people don't like it, that's the best thing I could come up with.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Pamela. Okay. So you know what three people think, so is that enough, or do we have to vote on each one of these things?
Well, I thought they were just staff recommendations.
Well,
I didn't know we were voting. I just asked if we were voting.
No, Mary, you were asking about the whole budget. Are we agreeing what we want to tell staff to do on this? Do we want to do what you said, close one day a week? Do we want to say one day a month salary they work? They don't get paid for that, or do we want to say what Jim said?
What I would like to see is that all the recommendations that are made tonight, right, be put on a sheet and let the new GM determine what works, what doesn't work, and come back with the recommendations.
So how long do you want to operate without a budget then?
Well, I don't know. We've been operating. I don't think, you know, to let the gentleman have a week or two to look over what he's expected to follow, you know, I don't think that that's asking too much.
So are you looking for the budget by the 28th, Mary?
Yeah, I would say I want to be fair to the new person who's expected to come up with, you know, an extra $200,000 that's not on paper or not. I mean, we say we want to be inclusive, so I would say put Pamela's suggestion down, put my suggestion down, make the list, and then the new leadership will tell us what's feasible, what's not feasible. They'll say it's not feasible to shut one day a week. It's not feasible to ask somebody to volunteer one day a month, you know. Well, not really volunteer, but sort of. So, I mean,
all right.
That's how I'd like to see it done, but, you know.
Okay.
You know, that's fine.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. You know what we want. So you'll have that back to us on the 14th, so when we have the public hearing, and we will decide, hopefully, well, it would be what we were doing tonight, actually, and approve it finally on the 28th. Is that what you're saying, Mary?
I actually would like the new GM to get a chance to look at what he's expected to work with. Whether if he can do it in 48 hours, great. If he can do it in 2 weeks, then it's 2 weeks. But I can't tell you how long it's going to take him to familiarize himself and research.
Go and get all the board comments and then take public comment. That's what I'd understood.
Yeah.
Page 13. Just point out the budget does not include a cost of living adjustment for any district employee.
Right.
In fact, you just discussed the possibility of a negative salary adjustment. Page 14.
Need to strike the firefighters receive an additional $10 per pay period for their uniforms because we changed that in the contract, so that just needs to be taken out.
Taken out, and also the second asterisk, firefighters are paid an additional 6.07 hours semi-monthly rather than 3.7 hours every pay period.
So what's it supposed to say?
Firefighters are paid an additional 6.07, strike 3.7.
Okay. Every month.
Semi-monthly, strike every pay period.
Okay.
In lieu of holidays.
Yeah.
One suggestion came up is, why do we even need page 14? Because page 15, and I'm not sure we got that out to every board member. It's a range and step matrix that looks like
actually,
this.
Actually, it says page 16 on the bottom of this.
It says page 16. It should be crossed out and made 15. And if we get rid of page 14, it'll be page 14.
Kevin, can I ask you a quick question? And since the title for office manager was changed, is the salary still the same?
On this schedule, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm not sure. Page 14 seemed superfluous to me and redundant.
The office manager is now secretary bookkeeper?
Correct.
And
you're going to have your new manager look at this whole thing and salary and range anyway. But for now, Director Lucy's question, isn't that office manager mean that secretary bookkeeper I talked about earlier? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure the pay scale was the same.
So I'm not sure we need page 14. I recommend deleting it. Just, you've got better information on page, what's called page 16. And then as far as your, and that has paid.
Get 1 week's vacation, not 2 weeks vacation, and then go from the steps on. You start out with 2 weeks vacation the first year, which I think is nice, but for this year, we have to cut down. You know, everything can change, you know. Plane can come by and drop a big old sack of money. I don't know what could happen, but for this year, I think we need to be ultra fiscally conservative. And that means that any new employees start with 1 week's vacation the first year, not 2 weeks vacation the first year. And most government employees have the same.
This was brought up in one of our staff meetings, as you just heard from Director Lucy. I'll mention for the board, this is a repeat of your personnel policy. If I was to stay, I would not even suggest you keep this in your budget because it's a repeat of something somewhere else, and there's a lot of chance to repeat it incorrectly or change your policy, which you have a formal process for. That personnel policies were adopted by ordinance, so you would need to change this by ordinance. Further, this falls under the Myers-Brown Act. Forget the middle guy's name.
Meletius,
thank you. Myers-Meletius-Brown Act, and that's a meet and confer issue, so you would need to meet and confer with the employees in good faith regarding this change in their wages, salary, and working conditions. Not that all that couldn't be done. I'm just saying that's a process you would need to follow.
You understand that I meant for new employees from this point on. So it wouldn't affect any current existing employees, any new employees. So to meet and confer, I'm not quite sure that would need to happen.
I think I would ask, I think your point is well taken, that restating policy in the budget is probably redundant and unproductive, but I would think that it would be a good idea perhaps to have the personnel committee look at our vacation policy with an idea to encouraging people to take vacation rather than...
Information in this page also, is that correct?
Can I ask that we review the holiday schedule too? 16 days, that's a lot for, you know, holidays. In my day, you know, I think we got 12.
I counting...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, excuse me, 15 holidays.
And then I'm counting I and K, you'll notice, aren't 8-hour days, or just 4 hours.
Okay.
I'm just trying to be accurate.
I don't see...
So they're half day, so point well taken. So Mary, 14 days.
Mary, there's a day missing on these right now anyway.
Cesar Chavez?
Yeah, I don't see him on there, do I?
So we're back up to 15.
That's number L.
That's L?
All other days is maybe proclaimed by the governor of the state of California,
or
the president by the United States.
So we do have, we are closed one day under that.
Yeah.
Okay. 16 days when the federal government is only 12.
Or 14.
Two floating holidays. And then the governor's day. Yeah, so I would ask that the personnel committee review the holiday schedule along with the vacation. I mean, just try to keep in mind it's for this year, not for life. You know, we all have to sacrifice a little bit.
All right, I'll leave it to the personnel committee to meet, make a recommendation, and bring that back to the board. Page 18 through... Did you want this personnel policy... payment compensation plan to remain in your budget or not? Did you want to adopt that separately or include it in the budget?
I think the compensation plan needs to be part of the budget, at least in terms of the amounts that we expect to spend for the next year.
Why don't we leave the whole thing in and you could...
The policy items, though, I don't... such as page 16, I don't know that that...
16 and 17. Now it's the pages I'm talking about.
That provides a lot of benefit. No, I think the idea is just to strike those two pages from the document.
Okay, so we're not talking about going back and revamping the vacation days and the rest of that before we approve this budget.
That would be depending upon the work of the personnel committee and when they bring to you your recommendation, I would think. Director,
maybe Hall. You might want to get rid of the two floating holidays or something in there.
What I'd like to see is that it go on the list to go before the new GM, and the personnel committee will meet and review the policies around those two issues.
Well, as an example, let's take a floating holiday just as a point of discussion. If a floating holiday was eliminated, that would make it a work day, but it's going to be paid one way or the other. Mm-hmm. So there's a net zero to your budget.
Money-wise, but work-wise, it sure isn't a net zero.
That's correct. I understand that. But in terms of the budget, which is a money thing, it's a net zero.
So we're going to be able to pass this budget even though we're going to look at these issues.
Yes,
and that's what I'm concerned with. We're not waiting for those to be finished before we pass a budget.
Hopefully.
All right, that's fine.
Pages 18 through 22 are summaries, and those numbers in this version are not final. You're better off just looking at each fund account. And those funds have summary. Each, those are the tabs, street lighting, fire, water, sewer, garbage, whatever. Those same numbers are in those different funds. They also appear in the summaries. The summaries is a function of those funds. So I'm suggesting we just skip those now because they are what they are, or they will be what they will be. Page 24, general fund, there was a suggestion just to delete that page. You'll notice the page following 25 says administration. The page general fund didn't seem to add anything except add an extra page to your budget.
Yeah, and every time you bring up a general fund, everybody echoes the same thing. We don't have a general fund.
It's more easy to think of the funds that we do have, and those are the tabs in here. Admin, fire, we cited most of them there. Yeah. Page 26, second paragraph, next to the last line. Determine that the result percentage of time that was spent on each function during 2008-2009 was as follows. And I don't remember any other changes on this page.
No, we did talk about the administration for fire and what that covered, and that was the firefighters MOU, the fireworks program, the weed abatement program, payroll, fire safety letters. And we've been negotiating the JPA, so there's been quite a bit of work attached to the fire department.
That will continue through the end of this budget year?
Until we have a JPA,
Yeah, which will not continue. Be before July 1.
Right.
Were we going to add that, Director Dean? I forget when I met with you, whether we discussed it or you wanted that wording added.
I think it was just a discussion so that we knew what was covered under the administration for fire, because people were saying
questions
that we're not
came
doing
up, what,
too much for fire. There is quite a bit of work.
The last paragraph on that page 26 talks about the off-budget bank of time. That is currently $50,000 in round numbers. It would seem to me that we should address that as a line item in the budget this year so that it can be dispositioned this year rather than carrying it forward into future years.
Director Hill, can we hold that thought until we get over to page 29, expenses for legal?
Sure.
Legal services. And you'll recall we did, after account number 223 in the middle of the page, the recommendation was to insert a new 224.
Right.
So Director Hill's point is goes kind of to the last sentence there. If the district desires to repay this directly rather than through credits, there should be a line item in the expense sheet. Mm-hmm. And so if the board directs to do that, then most of this paragraph, or maybe all of it, just comes out because you will have had an expense line. So we'll hold that thought till we get to page 29 in the middle. Or we could go there now. Director Hill, since you brought it up, if you want to skip ahead to that, it's
fine. I'll take it in order. That's fine.
Okay. Page 27.
Move back up to the top of the page, Kevin. Office manager for would be zero requesting, and secretary bookkeeper would be requesting one.
Yeah, office manager would be stricken and secretary bookkeeper. Right, so change in title. And again, as we mentioned, your new general manager is going to look at the whole admin department. Page 28. I'm going to point out something here on the middle. That's the revenues, administration revenues. Starting about in the middle, item 30 or account number 3213, will serve letter fee of 1360, line 3245, SSLOCD billing reimbursements. We're going to change that to billing reimbursements. 4930 and 3255 inspection fees. Those three items are examples of what you'll be discussing later tonight on the formation of an ad hoc committee. A couple of the board members thought that these fees, which are generally non-Prop 218 fees that are developers pay, that seem to be very low and thus shifting the burden for development onto the existing customers of Oceano, deserved a special, focused, laser-like second look. And I don't want to get into that now. You'll be discussing that later. But I will point out these are the type of fees that at least two of the board members thought were way too low and ought to need a second look. And there were other fees besides this, and some fees that this district doesn't even have that other agencies do have. Again, shifting the burden of new development away from developers onto existing customers. What all of you, and going down to the last two items, all of you seem to be in agreement that the fixed assets, I'm at line 321, second and last, fixed assets, PC, new accounting system, $20,000 was too low. That needed to be increased. The best way to do that would be defer another, for another year yet, the painting and carpet for this boardroom and the general district offices. So that $21,000 would go to a zero. I think there was a desire to at least show that painting and carpets. It's something that needs to be done. We didn't want to lose sight of that. We'll leave that as, or enter a zero there.
We need to actively pursue getting that.
Yeah. So there's a possibility that the HEP could actually be a wash with the money that the county has been collecting for that long period of time.
Correct.
But we just don't know because nobody's applied for that money. So
that's right. But I think we need to budget for it, and as President Mann says, pursue it.
Because I know that there are people who want to get rid of the public aspect, and that would be AGP, and I just think that that would just be criminal.
Well, we had the franchise. How do I want to say this? If maybe we were the ones that applied to get the franchise, we could pick AGP or somebody else and us. Maybe it would reduce the costs of people. You know what I mean.
Well, it would reduce the cost dramatically.
Cost to us for showing it, but maybe if we're in control of who is giving the service, it could maybe affect the cost that you as a homeowner pay to get the cable television.
Right.
We will insert a line in the revenue for the PEG from the county.
And so, Kevin, what would that be? 3304, did you say?
I didn't have a number for that.
Oh, you didn't. I'm sorry. I thought there was
We'll get the right number,
okay.
A number that makes sense. Account number. You're looking at the left-hand columns of account.
Oh, I have 220. You improved 220. But you already have a 220. Okay. Never mind.
Okay. On page 29, then. To pick, there were many comments made on this page too. We'll start at the bottom there based on what your revenues did to change the carpets and paint to zero and move that money up to the new accounting system to $41,000. So those changes would be made at lines 321 and 353 at the very bottom. To jump up to the middle of the page, right after line 223, legal services, there was a suggestion we make line 224, something like repayment of legal services, $50,000. Two of the board members wanted to not pay the bank back.
The legal fees tend to run in an average month about the number of average hours that we have in our normal budget, and the $50,000 was a one-time thing that I don't see going away in terms of an occasional hour here or there. We're, as often as not, we're an occasional hour over rather than an occasional hour under. and I think we need to address the $50,000, show it on the books because it is a liability of the district, and make an arrangement to pay it. And I, again, would suggest that we pay it this year.
Yes, I
think so too, so that it gets allocated to the proper areas that incurred that money.
There was a question too, Jim, just remembering now whether to make the new line 224 or about three quarters of the way down at line 220, where we say professional services, codify ordinance, change that to legal services, and show the $50,000 there.
I would rather have a separate line item.
I think a separate line item, because it's probably going to be non-recurring, so you could put a 224 in. That might be the better way to handle it.
I'm hearing three directors agreeing with doing that, and that's what we'll do. Any other comment on that?
I guess you all realize this is paying a debt that is not necessary to be paid, at least not necessary to be paid in cash. It's necessary to be paid, but not in cash. You can be paid in time against the regular bank, and I realize that that's not happening in such a great numbers right now, but as the JPA comes along, there should be less legal time that we have. And if we are going, but if you do want to pay this back using dollars as opposed to time spent, then I think that Alex has been generous enough not to necessarily need this all in 1 year. Or want this all in 1 year? We could spread this out over 3 years.
Well, once again, if you spread it out over 3 years, you spread it out over a declining number of cost centers.
Because part of this did come from the fire department.
There's authority. However, you still have some fire budget, which will only be a shadow of its original self, to be sure, but there still is some minor fire activity, and I suppose you could have something in there in future budgets. I mean, when we get to fire, actually, we can use this expenditure sheet here. Fire looks much the same. You have the personnel, you have the service and supply, you have some purchases with reserves and things like this. It looks very much the same. Most of these those categories are going away or be very, very much reduced. So I suppose, Vern, if you wanted to, you could retain some legal category and extract from them prior years, because we're going back years, repayments for legal services, although I don't know how you would necessarily calculate, quote, their fair share. We sort of have a de facto way to do it right now, you know, with the percentages. Whether they're right or wrong for legal, you do have this de facto method.
I hate to see, it's 59,000 is last I saw. It's not 50,000, which is, it's 9,000 more. And it's a hard year to be hit with this kind of thing too. I can understand that we want to have the legal fees go to the cost centers where they are incurred. But I also, this is a heck of a year to have to take that burden on. So I'm kind of two minds here about this.
Yeah, we're paying something that number one, the attorney's not asking us to pay in this year, and they're willing to take it in extra time, and that's not happening now, but. That doesn't mean that's not going to be happening in the future as the JPA comes in. And so, so there's a possibility that this cash doesn't have to go out at all. And then if we do want to pay it off using cash as opposed to credit spent, then we don't...
You can afford to make it.
Yes.
Well, I think...
Staff would need to know. You need to give direction on how you want that paid. There's 9 months remaining in this fiscal year, so do you want 9 payments or, you know, one?
Well, you know, it's a fiscal nightmare to go back and augment your budgets and have expenditures that were expended in 08 and start paying them back in 2010 and have to budget for a debt. And, you know, the bank is not like an American Express card where you spend $200 and they give you 2% off your purchase. You know, you sign warrants every single month for your legal fund. The way it's broken out, it's very, very hard to capture, you know, who was to know that $50,000 was spent on codification and that never came before the board. So it's hard to grasp these professional services as to how much is approved for them and what they're to be used for. You know, and I know that the JPA and the MOU came before the board, but the bank doesn't work like that. You know, I'm sorry, you front load it, but you front load it with cash. So I don't want to carry over a $50,000 debt to a legal firm that has been, quite frankly, you know, when I look at the invoices, you know, we should just get them an office here. You know, that way they don't have to answer so many emails and make sure that the flyer on the window is straight. So I say that $50,000 be put in the 08, 09 budget. The budget be modified to reflect what actually happened. And it should be put under codification ordinances. And then I was assured that codification would be zeroed out this year and it wouldn't cost anymore, you know, for codification. And so the 09, 010 should be zeroed out and you should clear your books. You know, it's not good to carry debt over into another year and next year and next year. It's bad financing. I'm sorry.
Well, my concern is I want to get it to show up on the books. The interim general manager makes a good point, is if you budget it here, you can wait until the end of the year.
If I move too fast, board member, and cut you off, please let me know.
If we put the 224 in for 50,000, the line item above it for regular legal services, 223, we had added 6,000 extra into that. Do you want to leave it that way or put it back to?
Reset it.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Also, the line above legal services, 222, as staff, we're suggesting that be totally moved to fire, water, or sewer and not show up in the admin budget. Those are services like for plan checks and things that we feel can be easily distributed, working with our engineer Wallace Group a little bit, more detail on their billing so that we can attribute them to the right place. And each of the fire, water, and sewer funds do have a line item 222. They already have numbers in them, so we just be increasing those numbers a little bit. It's only $6,000 we're redistributing. Director Lucy had some comments on some of the service and supply numbers. Director Lucy, did you want me to go over those, or did you want to explain those yourself? You have the telephone, the memberships, the postage, you recall.
I kind of feel like I'm on the, you know, maybe I'm on the wrong page with the rest of the board, but I haven't heard anything, any suggestions for savings except for, you know, Mr. Hill's brought up a couple of them, but is something that has the budget already been decided? Because we don't really have to go through this exercise on my behalf. If it's already been decided how you want the budget to look, then just put it out there and then we can just move on and save everybody time.
Well, I think some of your... I'm sorry, Director.
Because I have no idea what the other board members recommended or anything. I just hear my voice and
I've made a couple comments.
Well, I could start with, Director Hill, I know you wanted to say something, but I could start with where there seemed to be some agreement on these line items. Two-thirds of the way down, line item 286, board member expense. There was a suggestion to reduce that
member expense to zero.
I would too.
You don't think that there might be one seminar that, because we have, Mary hasn't gone to all the seminars, has she, that she needs?
I'm only going to mandatory seminars.
Okay.
I don't want to participate in anything that is not mandatory, and I kind of feel like I got sent up to the Bay Area under the pretense that it was mandatory, and I don't want to do that.
Okay, then make it zero.
So, you know, I don't tack on vacation days and stuff like that. I just go do my stuff and get back home.
There is probably for most of you a requirement to attend the ethics training and the harassment prevention training.
Well, we do that. We can do that here, though.
Is there a cost associated with that presentation? Is it like $500 or something?
I think when we did the ethics and Avalo, it was probably $50 per person.
So maybe we ought to leave that 500?
500 is all right.
Okay. I mean, we could try and combine. The ethics you're going to have to do on your own. The harassment training, you know, staff needs that too. And, you know, it's a matter of do you charge it all to the staff category for that or some of the board?
Just,
you know,
put 500 there and that'll take care of it.
I would also look to be as frugal as we possibly can on general office expenses.
Yep. Do we, Joe Blow wants a packet mailed. Do we pay for that mailing or do they pay to have it mailed to them?
Board's direction was that if someone wants a packet mailed, we pay for the postage.
And how much is that per packet? $5?
On an average, yeah.
Then maybe if someone wants their packet mailed, they need to pay for it. Otherwise, you can get one for free by coming in and picking it up.
Or it's on the web, too.
Or on the web.
Yeah, I think anybody who wants a packet, including board members, they need to just come to the front desk and pick it up.
We're mailing out about 30 packets, $5 each. We're going to discuss it and make a decision, but you seem to be predisposed to either charging people what it costs to mail it to them or maybe not even providing the service any longer. There was also a question came up on 225. It's about in the middle of the page. Board services. These are your stipends for meetings. It was a suggestion to maybe reduce committee meetings, try and hold special meetings like this to a minimum.
Like to do that. We don't need a lot of meetings, or maybe we don't, you know, get paid for some of the committee meetings, some of those things. I'm willing to do the work without being paid for the meeting, and there's plenty of it out there. So if that's what the board desires, that's fine with me too.
Well, hopefully we're not going to have a lot of special meetings.
No.
Now that we have a general manager.
We should be in better shape now.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was just a factor of where we were with our general manager.
I think if we took it down to one meeting a month, if we could get enough stuff in, I don't know.
You've got to be kidding. One meeting a month?
It would cut down on a lot of staff.
Well, it would cut.
But
I think we'd be here till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
You not pay me for one of the meetings, but I'm not going to just have one meeting because I don't like staying so late. You don't really get that much accomplished because you'll say yes just to get done with it.
Well, the board would have to set some policy to back that up. As you can see, we our budget and our actual, or budgeting doesn't get any better than that. We basically hit it on the numbers at 21,000.
Yeah.
We could back it off some, and hopefully you'll modify your behaviors to come within budget.
Okay.
Maybe back it down to say 19 or something like that, 19,000. And then you don't have to spend the 19. If you do better than that, then it'll be less, right?
Right.
Pages 30, 31, 32, and 33 are explanations of each account. That will be struck out. It'll just say software account 321, 41,000. Yeah. The building rehab will be struck. And we're on to street lighting. Page 36, the overview, the second sentence, that might change. It says the legislature has set up a special loan securitization program. That's wishful thinking. They haven't done that yet. We hope they do. It hasn't been done, so that paragraph may change. Or maybe just take out that second sentence. And whatever the legislature does, they'll do. Page 37, your historical operation is to budget one new street light per year. This budget includes money for one new street light.
And is that location selected already, Kevin?
Yeah, that is a carry forward. Excuse me, Director Lucas?
Is that street light, is that one already selected? Because I know that there was...
Still the one we didn't do.
The one that the developer tore out and didn't replace.
We never finished putting that in yet.
So we're replacing the one the developer tore out and didn't put back in?
Yeah.
Is there a possibility we could write a letter to that developer in case he plans on developing in this area again, that it would be a good faith move that he pay for that street light? At least attempt it.
It only costs 42 or 44 cents to send the letter, yeah.
Yeah,
why
right.
Why not?
I'm sorry, I've only been... What you're discussing happened predates my tenure here. So I'm assuming
there was a street light.
Makes sense to
there was a street light at the end of Basin because it was a dead-end street. And when they developed the new Casey project, they opened that street through and they took the street light out. You know, it was in the middle of the street at the end. And they took it out and did not replace the street light, so it's dark at that end. And the people that live on Basin Street wanted their street light back.
All right, we'll send a letter to the developer.
It was not required. There wasn't any requirement for them to put that in legally. They have been asked once already to do it and have refused. So
there you
feel. Improvements, new fixtures. Under 2009-10 requested, that should read 6,000, not zero. That's the new streetlight we're just talking about. That will increase the total to 47,451. Yeah. Line 24, under expenditures, line 247, LAFCO. We have redistributed LAFCO out of administrative costs into street lighting, fire,
water, sewer, and garbage,
because that's where the burden for LAFCO expenditures lie. It's just more accurate accounting and reporting. So street lighting's in pretty good shape. Your revenues exceed expenditures by a small amount. Page 39. There will be a new account number, 247, LAFCO. It will say allocation of LAFCO expense, and then over a description, it will say local agency formation commission, parentheses, LAFCO, to explain.
And that finishes street lighting. Any more questions on street lighting? Page 40, we're in fire now, page 41, second paragraph, reading, below is a chart by type and the number of responses each year from 2004 to 2008, not 2003 to 2007, but 04 to 08, and the 08 numbers will be filled in. The totals there, we have the numbers, we'll fill that in. Page 42,
exhaust system, the 32,050 for the exhaust system.
Yes, second.
Be put in there in the second from the last sentence in the second paragraph.
Yes, last second sentence, second paragraph. That number is 33,250. You just found that out last week after we got this budget out. So, and there's some other numbers that need to be filled in. Actually, the the last paragraph, that was 67, gave me that. And some changes in the text on page 44. They're just more or less updates for what we're doing currently. Some of the information's outdated, and it's monetarily non-substantial, but it's accurate. Needs to be more accurate. Page 45, we're suggesting this page just be deleted in its entirety. It doesn't add anything. The information appears elsewhere in the fire budget. Page 46, revenues. About one-fourth of the way down at line 3103, there was a suggestion made, which staff agrees with, to add a line 3104 right under that called loan securitization. And it's there we will insert the $67,000 that could possibly be received should Senate Bill 67 pass within the next few weeks.
What did you call it? Loan what?
Loan securitization.
Okay.
Sorry for the bureaucraties. It's not my term. It's the state legislature's
okay.
term.
Thank you.
It's to restore the amount of property tax they have taken away from local jurisdictions. Their term is borrowed. And line 3100, the top line where we show the amount of property tax we'll receive, does account for the 8% tax shift which the state is borrowing from us.
Do you need to put a note in there
okay.
that
Pardon?
You're doing that? Do you need to put a note to 3100 that does show the 8% that's being borrowed?
That's...
I'll probably forget by looking at this later. Maybe not, but...
I don't think you'll forget the 8%
probably
they borrowed.
Probably not, but if somebody looked at it later, they might...
You know, it's such an incredible amount, and the legislature has done an extraordinary thing. Whenever the legislature suspends guarantees in the state constitution, it's probably worthy of a note in your budget, no matter what the issue is. But that's what they did. They suspended the guarantees that have been made to this district and others like us, which are constitutionally because of the dunes out here. You notice there's nothing over in the requested column. The chief tells me we didn't quite expend all the $54,614 we have. There's a little bit of carryover, so I'd like to show that.
Okay.
This year is that amount, and we'll make a similar entry over on the expenditure side. We haven't identified what we'll use that money for, but it is money that we did receive with no strings attached, by the way, and there are probably some things the fire department needs or didn't yet purchase.
Can we request that again? Yearly.
I'm not sure how or if they're going to distribute the money. when it becomes available and they make notification. I was told at the time that I went through this process that it was going to be somewhat in a grant form, and there wasn't any expectation, or that we shouldn't have the expectation that this would be annual or ongoing. So I don't know how they're going to do this process again. Possibly.
I guess the answer is we'll ask if we get a chance to ask.
We can
correct.
Ask, right?
If we have the opportunity, we certainly will try to pursue.
Zone 1-1A received grants out of this fund for the levy. So it does appear that that's what's going on, is that if you want some OHB money, you're going to have to apply for it in the form of a grant. But we would have, you know, good rights to do that since we're directly affected by it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Moving on, again, about three-quarters of the way down, where it says less in the account number, it just says less, and then the description is facilities fees transferred to restricted reserves, $21,000. That number needs to be $26,400. It corresponds above to line 3235. This was just an oversight on our part. 3235 is public facilities fees. We expect to get $26,400. That money gets transferred to your restricted reserve. So those two numbers are the same. The last two numbers on the page, the 36,000 number, I'm in the right far right-hand column there. We know now from last meeting that number is 33,250. That's the amount of grant we're getting. We'll change the fence on revenues. So we're over on the expenditure page, and other than those changes I mentioned, there's no other changes there. Any comments on pages 46 or 47?
On 47, we talked about adding a 222 expense for engineering.
That's correct. We will add that.
And we were doing some corrections in that, what was the 2008-09 budget loan? There were some changes. Professional services on 220 should have been 55,100 or something like that.
Professional service,
Yeah, because it was only 4,000 and that was incorrect.
In the 08-09 budget, yeah. We picked up the wrong number there.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
It doesn't affect this year's budget.
No.
It's just for reference to what had been going on. And as long as you're on there, this has gone up because we've included the agreement you signed for sharing battalion chief and fire chief. And so that was the 66,500 I mentioned earlier in the text part of the thing. Pages 48, 49, 50, and 51, are again account summary justifications, and there were no changes that I recall in those titles or descriptions, other than adding 222.
Well, when on page 48, instead of admin staff, fire staff.
Correct. That's account number 96, 096.
Okay.
And we'll add the LAFCO description, 247, allocation of LAFCO expense. No changes on page 51, a rather minimal capital expenditure, fixed assets, major purchases, $6,000. And that finishes fire. Any questions on fire? Okay, we're on to the water budget. I'm at the second paragraph from the bottom, not counting the bottom lines, which is a numerical tabula. No complaints about it. Unfortunately, it will be illegal on December 21st and no longer meet air quality management district standards, and there's no fix for that, so we need to purchase a new one. Page 56, Right up at the top, we have utility operations supervisor twice. The second utility operations line should read lead person rather than supervisor. Utility operations lead person. There were no comments on page 57. On page 58, we will add a sentence at the bottom indicating that the list of projects which are shovel ready and perhaps eligible for some American Recovery and Reinvestment Act money, commonly known as stimulus bill, does not include a well at the avocado orchard that may be needed due to possible seawater intrusion into the basin. Page 59, we're on the revenues Excel spreadsheet. The third line down where there is no account number will be account 3201. That's the water rate increase. That is projected to change from $205,000 to $115,840, a reduction of almost half. In the middle of that revenues, there's a line 3240, the wheeling agreement with Canyon Crest and the two Halcyon mobile home parks. We're going to move that down to below the solid line because it's just a pass-through, and we want to keep our district revenue separate and show what's revenue to us as revenue and not include in our revenues money we collect for others that we just pass through that's not really our revenue. Also, the very last line, Lopez pass-through, no board members and no staff member understand why this was included. It's something that was in the $21,000. We'll have more to say about that number later. And so that was all the staff recommendations. Jim, I think it was at this point you had some questions on our estimates on state water project connection fees, Lopez connection fees, and our front footage fees.
Front footage fees, yes. The front footage fees are projected to be $20,000 higher than last fiscal year. That seems extraordinarily high to me. The state water project connection fees are projected to be double of last year. That seems wildly extraordinarily high to me. Lopez connection fees are projected to be over double last year. That again seems wildly high to me. Altogether, we're looking at about, I would guess, probably at least $100,000 over optimistic estimation of what might come in due to new connection fees. But
I have one comment on the state water project connection fees and the Lopez connection fees. A big portion of that is attributable to the mobile home parks on Halcyon, $55,413 and $44,330 were collected from those two mobile home parks already.
Okay, and that's in this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I put it in a little better perspective.
Okay.
Also, the same comment can be made in the sewer, not Gina's comment, Jim's comment when we get there, just if I can. Jimmy got the same sort of comment about some of our sewer revenues. And both here in water and in sewer, we figured 14 new single-family residences. So that's what we base that on. And I don't disagree that could be a number that could possibly be zero. We made the best estimate we could all through this budget on revenues and expenses. We didn't put things high or low for the board to find Easter eggs to take out or make look better. We just made our best guess, and from the staff view, and I'm not saying we're right on the thing, we thought 14 homes was the most reasonable thing.
Fall to for at all for trying to make a best guess. That's something that we're in extraordinary times, and a best guess is a best guess. Nonetheless, I am concerned that very recently we've learned we probably have to update our master plans and things of that nature, and those costs are going to need to be added into this budget too.
We do not have, Director Hill is correct, we don't have a cost for like anything towards working for a new well. No engineering, no environmental, no legal work or planning or anything like that. And it may be wise to put something in there to at least start that sort of a project if the board desired. You wouldn't have to start it, but at least you would have something. Again, your water budget is the weakest sister among all your funds. You know, fire's pretty healthy, street lighting's healthy, garbage even, sewers drags a little, and water drags the most. So it's a difficult year and a difficult time. I feel like saying, I guess I will say it, all roads point to rate increase. And it's what's needed to fund your water operation. Unfortunately, that probably can't happen until sometime after the first of the year under the best of circumstances. So I don't know. Did you want us to perhaps under the capital projects include something for a well, some modest amount, maybe $25,000, showing a transfer from reserves?
Something like that, and or additional engineering costs. We heard that there's going to be more monitoring and the preparation of the reports for that's under major litigation, perhaps, but that's the ongoing costs of the Santa Maria groundwater settlement. And
we
those are going to be expenditures, obviously.
We could, you know, that well probably does. That well probably would, if you were to embark on that, impact the contract engineering service, stimulus money that might be flowing our way. And we still might have some of that stimulus money flowing our way. And, of course, shovel ready was the term du jour that was used for the federal government's desire to put that money that would create jobs immediately.
Well, a well would be essentially shovel ready, you would think.
That could be.
It would be close to shovel ready. I guess you have to get a permit, but.
Well, if you wanted to include for some contingency like that, you could either show it as being out of restricted reserves, or as Director Hill suggested, and it's a good suggestion, perhaps modify account number 222 and increase that from 10 to say 20 or 25,000. Something to recognize that
25
would be an expenditure.
25 is probably good.
20,000?
25,000, did you say?
25, maybe.
25?
Sure.
And while we're in that area of that spreadsheet, the line above it, 220 professional services at 41,445, that got increased by $17,000 to 58,445. Mm-hmm. The monitoring that you need to do, groundwater monitoring, is going to increase this year, and that actually represents a minimal amount. I will be surprised if we can live within that budget, but we're trying to have very sharp pencils, budget quite accurately. In this case, I would like the board to know we're maybe on the low side. And were there any other questions on pages 60 or
What about the...
61. Yeah, I think I have your pages. I think they're...
The Lopez, yes. Zone 3, not this year, but next year?
Yeah, Zone 3 is worth mentioning because you'll notice between the actual and the requested is $100,000 for Zone 3. I mean, I've had several questions. I'm sure you have, too. What do you need a rate increase for? Well, for one thing, you haven't had a rate increase for 10 years, and I challenge anyone to find anything where the price is still maybe the same, except it's not that bad.
Maybe it will be less.
Maybe it will be less, but it's not going to be the same as this year. We do know that it's going up. And that's a cost we do not have any control over. The County of Santa Barbara owns and operates the...
County of San Luis.
I'm in the wrong county.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of going home already. Instead of where I grew up, County of San Luis Obispo owns and operates Lopez, and the costs are distributed among those receiving the water.
And you will hear in my report that there will be a credit. Gina says that those come in like 2 years later. We don't know what the credit will be to our Lopez fee, but there will be a credit rather than an increase on this amount.
I also mentioned your state water bill increases every year, too. That is not, although a large part of it is fixed to repay the bonds that were sold to finance the facilities, there is a variable component, and that continues to increase. And expenditures carry over onto page 61. Are there any questions on pages, further questions, comments on pages 59 through 61? Pages 62, 63, 64, and 65, then, are again the accounts and their descriptions. On page 64, 220, professional services, there is a suggestion, which I agree with, that we extend that description, since that is becoming a large number. It includes permits, hazmat inspections, groundwater monitoring, and the annual groundwater report. Other than that, there were no further comments on those account descriptions. Page 67 is a summary of your fixed assets and major purchases for the water department. There were no comments.
Let's talk about a backhoe. Is that something to do with the backhoe you talked about?
Yeah, I'm trying to fill what...
Putting some money aside.
Any more comments on the water budget before we move on to sewer? Sewer, third paragraph, fourth paragraph down, starting with the word study. Studies included in this budget are for sewer master plan. I had the number there, forgotten it. I have the real number. And it's $15,000 for the sewer rate study. We'll have the real number in your thing. There were no comments on page 70 that I recall. No comments on page 71. There are some comments on page 72 and changes. I'm down at line 3235. There's two line 3235s. The first line 3235 is the CBDG reimbursement. That's $222,375. Just at your last, and the second line is DRI project reimbursement. It's zero. There's good news. This is the revenue side, remember, $540,000, $408,000. This is $500,000 in revenues. We just found that out at your last meeting when the State Department of Housing forwarded these contracts to the County of Santa Barbara. And for the public, including the listening and viewing audience, a great deal of gratefulness goes to Supervisor Kachuakajian and staff member Tony Navarro for obtaining these funds on behalf of the community of Oceano. Thank you. So that $540,000 will allow us to complete five additional sewer segments, which I will get to when we turn the page over to expenses. And it will also allow us on this page, third line from the bottom, account number 355, CBDG DRI, and we're changing that from sewer rehabilitation to prior unreimbursed expense. We, as you know, these grants and low interest loans, you have to spend the money, you get reimbursed later. A portion of this $500,000 will reimburse the district in our restricted reserves. So that $148,000 number is not correct. The new number is $308,621. And that has a parenthesis of 162. The reason for that is not only are you building the additional sewer segments, you've retained 10% of contractor payments, which you'll need to pay. There will be additional engineering inspection and, of course, environmental monitoring. The other number I had to change on here is about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way down. Sanitation, 297, I'm sorry, account payment 297, sanitation district payment 294,790. That payment is $411,835. That number, again, it's a pass-through number. It appears over on the revenue page as $411,835. We just picked up the wrong number. It's a total pass-through. So whatever showed on the revenue page needs to show on the expense page. That's the amount of money we collect for South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. We don't keep any of it. It's a straight pass-through.
So that number was last year's actual?
Yes, the $411,835. That's the actual number. And I have no other comments on sewer expenditures or revenues. The board have any comments? I don't recall there were any comments. Page 74 and 75 and 76 are again account justifications. They're the account numbers, titles, and descriptions. No comments were made on that. We have no staff changes. On page 77, our summary of fixed assets and major purchases. There is a change in repairs. Fourth number down on page 77. Allow the board to catch up. Repairs, sewer damage, 2003 earthquake. That number is changing from the 248,000 figure to the 554,162. It's the number I just explained. And the descriptional change there, again, additional sewer segments, payment of retention, and engineering inspection, and environmental monitoring. So the total down at the bottom, I'm sorry I don't have that total tonight. I worked it out on another sheet. It's not 311,000, it's 500 and something. Actually, it's more than 600 something, 600,000. So that finishes sewer. Any questions?
I had one question. On 76, I had something that said include descriptions for the revenue side under this account numbers.
Oh, yes.
Was I doing something wrong here?
No. If you turn to page 72, for example, in all your funds, there's something very similar to page 72. And on the left-hand side, there's an account number. Mm-hmm. And while on the expense side, we go to great pains to explain and describe those account numbers, we have not done the same on the revenue side, except for the brief description that's there. And I think the feeling when we met with all the board members was that next year, perhaps we could expand these account number descriptions.
That's what it was, next year.
Yeah. that for this year, while their descriptions are brief, they pretty much give the idea what's going on. It could be improved on, and that would be a next year project, seeing that we want to get this budget out soon. So I'm on to the garbage fund.
You're on 76, so you want to put in LAFCO, 247.
I'm sorry, yes, the description. There will be account 247. Allocation of LAFCO expense. And now I move on to the garbage franchise. Page 79, overview, it's the second paragraph. I'm going to add a sentence that says the contract expired on April 28th, 2009. We are now operating under a one-year extension. The board should be aware you do need to renegotiate your garbage contract. It was for 10 years. That time has expired. There were no comments on pages 80 or 81, either the revenues or expenses, and you will see garbage runs a little bit in the positive, with revenues exceeding expenses by a small amount. I'm on to the litigation fund. I think the description should be changed some. I think you leave that for next year. There was some fine-tuning we've all discussed. Page 84, revenues and expenditures. You'll notice we had a budget for $20,000. We only expended $7,000. We've requested $10,000. I think the point was very well taken that $10,000 could easily go to $20,000. Again, this is even more of a guess than some of our other expenditures. I expect some year you're going to expend $20,000 on this Santa Maria groundwater litigation. I don't know that it'll be this year. We put it at a low number given our overall budget and reserve situation. But the board should be advised it could go higher at a heartbeat. I just don't know when that heartbeat comes. Litigation's been dragging on since 1997. It's likely to continue for a couple of more years at least. We will have to spend somewhere near that $20,000 before the thing's over. It's just a matter of when will it be over. I'm on the sheriff's facility, page 87. The description, last paragraph. The budget for fiscal year 09-10 includes $2,500 for an installation of the window. The amount has been increased by $500 based on recent estimates. Again, going to page 88, the revenue and expenditure page. Revenues are a little bit more than expenditures. That's good news. And we, of course, lease that building, and some of it, that lease amount goes over to our other two funds, water and sewer. So, there were no questions on page 89, and that is the end of the budget.
Before we go to public comment, 5 minutes would be our 10 o'clock closure time. So how long do we want to extend this meeting for?
Do you want to go to 10:30?
Sounds good to me.
That's about my limit, too.
Is 10:30 all right?
Yeah.
Jim?
No opinion.
We will continue then till 10:30 at this point. Now, before we go to the public on this, any other comments on the budget from the board? So public comment. Larry, you've waited a long time. Thank you for your patience.
I have a couple of questions. First, I'd like to thank you for going through this. It's not an easy task. I think you should try to sharpen your pencils and do the best you can. I'll have comments about that after. Don't we have a piece of property that still, or did we sell that piece of property, the old firehouse?
We still own the fire station.
Doesn't that have anything to do with revenues too?
Yes, it does. We rent that out.
Did, do you have anything in the...
It shows in there.
Oh, it does?
Yes. There's a line item for the revenues.
Okay. I didn't hear anything about that.
Lease of that building.
Okay, thank you. It's obvious that there's going to be a rate increase, and it's obvious that there has to be a rate increase. But nevertheless, I think the board has to... The burden is on the board to show that everything possible is done to keep this rate increase down as best as possible. And the board seems to be split on this. It's been going on for the last two or three meetings. More than that, two members of the board seem to think that there should be changes in the administration. So I think I have the representing the public here. It doesn't. I think I have the duty, civic duty, to ask a couple of questions and to make it clear to the public what's going on. Question number one, and what is the total personnel in our organization?
Are you talking including fire department?
No.
Nine.
Okay. Now, of those nine, how many people would you consider in a managerial position?
Three.
Well, as a general manager, that's the only position with the title manager.
But I mean administrative management positions.
Well, then there would be, under the general manager, two positions.
That's three.
That are directly supervised by the manager.
Okay. And out on the field?
There are a total of four people in the field.
How many managers?
Well, one of the two that I mentioned is out in the field. That's a supervisor. You call right. It managers.
Whatever.
I'm just say one.
Okay. Here's my thinking on this. There are people who are in decision-making capacities, and there are people who are carrying out those decisions.
Well, there's a supervisor for the field crew. He supervises.
So what I want to know totally between the field and the office, how many people are in decision-making, order-giving positions?
Two.
Well, I thought that includes the field?
Yes.
You said there was a supervisor.
In the field.
One. That's one.
One.
And how many in the office?
One.
One. There are only two people here who are in administration, or getting paid for administration?
There's four people in the administration.
All right, so there are four out of nine are administrators.
No.
They're not I wouldn't call a clerk an administrator.
No, certainly not a clerk.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Certainly not. But as far as...
I thought you were asking about in our administrative department.
No, I'm saying collecting administrative pay. Part of their
I
job.
I don't understand your... Sorry, Mr. Bross, I don't understand.
How many workers and how many managers? It's a fair question.
There's out of... Nine people, yeah. Not including fire, there's one general manager who supervises two what you might call department heads, although we don't use that title.
So I would say there were three then managers there.
I wouldn't call them managers. We don't use those titles, and they don't have that degree of responsibility.
Okay.
But I you know, you could call it what you want.
Well, I mean, what are the titles there? What are they called? What are these titles?
Well, in the administrative section, it's called an administrative assistant. Reports directly to the general manager. That's an administrator. Well, you're using the term manager.
I'm using the term administrator. We can't call them officers and enlisted men, you know. I'm trying to get a percentage of people.
I could make that transition
okay.
for you.
Look, here's the question I'm really asking.
And how many officers do we have? Three. How many enlisted men do we have? Six.
Okay. The point is, are we top heavy in? This question, the burden has to be on you to show that we're not top heavy on that point before we're making, it seems to me, before we're making big rate increases. That, you know, you're trying very hard to keep the costs down. The question is, the main costs are they being kept down? And the, you know, the public has to be assured of this, that this is being done. That's the point I would like to bring out. And it doesn't seem that there's any change. You know, there is a status quo here. Okay? And the public has to realize that there's no real changes have been made. There is a crisis. I'm hearing $200,000. I don't know how much a year you're going to go into a hole. You're going to try to do it all on the backs of the ratepayers. That's what it seems to be.
Any other public comment? Seeing none. Bring you back to the board. I think we've given staff direction how to proceed on this to bring this back to us at the next meeting. Anything else we want to say about the budget? No? Okay. Let's see. Which of these wonderful things do we want to go to?
I would make some comments about the budget, though, going back a little bit to what Mary said. The budget's not exactly a living document. This is a plan that's been approved by the board. When it gets to the point of being approved by the board. And typically what I see is that when there's overruns or other money that's the general manager's used the crystal ball that he has to the best of his ability, I don't think any of us are in any better position really to second guess his estimations. However, at the end of the fiscal year or halfway through the fiscal year at some point, it would behoove us to look at the budget and where we are, and I would expect that the board would approve either overruns or underruns. Underruns, we may allocate to reserves or some other things. Overruns, we're going to have to figure out how to deal with, and I would hope that we would keep an eye on our budgeted expenses as we go through the year so that we can...
I think with a
plan in mind, just determine what to do.
I think we've all talked about looking at this ongoing, and having some budget reviews, or if we have to do a modification. I think we didn't
quarterly. Actually.
Yeah,
quarterly.
We kind of want to do it quarterly, but we didn't want to set a firm date.
No.
Based on the workload of our new general manager, but hopefully quarterly. We can say, okay, well, this looks like this isn't going to happen this year, so we can move money from that pot to another pot, or hopefully have it to go to reserves. So I think we all agree on that, Jim.
Yeah.
Right, Vern?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Mary would agree on that, too. Okay. So... there were no minutes, so we don't need to do those. No extra fire items. Oh, we have to do the utility. Don't we have to approve the continuation?
That's only at your next regular
meeting. Oh, only regular, not
only
even
regular,
special?
Not
oh,
special.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wanted to be sure we weren't doing that. Quick status on the water and sewer rate studies, Kevin?
real quick. I have the report. I'm hoping we're going to be able to convert our AS400 data Excel spreadsheet. I thought I might have more to report tonight. Other than that, I don't.
So. Okay. The 218 procedures.
This is something I've been encouraging the board to get going on. You either need to decide you're going to have procedures, and if that answer is yes, then figure out what they are, or no, we're not going to have procedures and just wing it and live with the vague guidelines, and not even that really, that are contained in the state constitution. And I strongly encourage you to have guidelines so that your public can know how you're going to conduct your rate hearing.
Yeah, and I would like to include our new general manager in that discussion.
Right. So on September 9th, I brought guidelines from another community service district, just like ours, in this county, San Luis Obispo County, the county right here. And there was some concern on the public that, oh, they're not like us. So I found there's only one other community service district besides that one that even has any guidelines. That's Napomo, so they're in here.
Okay, we have them.
No one else has done this. They're all done it on the fly and winging it. Okay. I also included City of Port Hueneme, and somebody might ask, well, why'd you include them there? Well, they're on the web. They're easy to find. If someone wanted to go look that up, they could get kind of the key words and maybe do their own search and their own work on that. And it's just something easy to find. And no one else in this county that I knew had any guidelines. And so I went to a neighboring county.
Fine.
Found a city. I could not find any community services district in Santa Barbara or Monterey. Not to say they're out there. Someone else can do that work. I think that you need to do something quick here. This takes a while to develop these guidelines. And then in addition to that, there are statutory time frames within the proposition itself, now contained in the Constitution, about notices and hearings and things like that. So
maybe we could have this as a little homework project, everybody to read it and be prepared to discuss it at the next meeting.
You have previously referred it to Finance Committee, but they haven't met. And
I mean, so the Finance Committee might be a good idea. I think the new general manager is going to need a primer on 218 for Dummies. And this is a good start. But we'll get him some
That's all of us.
So we'll get him a packet of stuff so he can familiarize himself with you know, everything leading up to.
Okay.
Right. And I might mention our attorney some time back did two memos, I believe, on Prop 218.
Yeah.
I think you offered those yourself.
Those
were good background.
Well, I offered one, and then I think right after that, some law got changed. Okay.
That was in June of 2008.
Okay, well, we're going to look at it again. Jim, do you want to do this with the Finance Committee? If so, when?
My availability is going to be very limited due
to
the power
plant
outage, so it might be good to just have everybody read it, as you suggested, as a homework project and come back.
I forgot about your outage starting.
Or perhaps you could meet with the general manager.
Yeah, and then we'll bring it back, but it will be on the next agenda. Okay.
Do you want to meet with the general manager and just bring something back for us to either approve or disapprove, or do you want to make it?
No, I think he and I can talk, and then I think the whole board needs to enter into the discussion next time. So it's because it's a big thing. And I know people have definite ideas about this. The audit, I've seen stuff go back and forth.
I have a call in to Ryan Cornell, and he has not called me back. I have nothing new to report.
I did get an email from Ryan where he had asked for some information. I guess he was he needed time cards for some of the fire department employees. I understand that that's been straightened out, that he's actually received that. He had accounts payable and expenditures. The wrong fiscal year material apparently was provided to him. And then something he had was faxed apparently with a handwritten note that didn't come through the fax. And there was third request for PERS retirement contributions. So that he sent this list, and I would imagine that some of that, Gina tells me that the time card issue at least has been addressed. So there's still apparently some.
I think we've addressed everything except the PERS retirement contribution. There's only one person in the office that knows where that exists, and that person has been ill and also does our payroll, so it's become a matter of priorities, and we're probably losing that person real soon here. So we, by the way, we'll have, this isn't quite the place to say it, but we're going to have three vacancies in the admin department.
Okay. We have heard nothing else about the property tax shift?
No update. No news is bad news in this case. Yes. The legislature needs to take action, and there is no action that they seem to be taking. So time is running out. This can't drag till the beginning of next year. The legislature needs to act like prior to the end of this month, and if they don't, there will be no loan securitization program.
Okay. We have on here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did have a. This memo is new from your last meeting. I'm sorry, it's laying on the lateness of the evening. You had previously authorized that your administrative assistant enroll in the program. But I think now that you've appointed a general manager, I think it would be better to have the general manager enroll in the loan program. And I can show your new manager to do that, assuming we can meet within the next 48 hours before my tenure here ends. Otherwise, it's not hard to figure out. But I think that would be the better thing to do, since he's going to be the point person on this and the main contact. And the time frames are so short, especially with the legislature delaying. You just don't want any internal delays with the wrong name or someone that's not here. So I'd recommend that by public comment, motion, and a roll call vote, you authorize the general manager to enroll in the program.
I move that we authorize the general manager to enroll in the loan securitization program when that becomes available.
Second. Roll call, please. Public comment. Seeing none. Roll call.
Director Hill?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Okay. Carries 401 being absent. All right. The appointment of the ad hoc committee. Vern wanted this on here.
Yes. This is a request for an ad hoc committee to look over the non-218 charges for possible updating, and we'll look at other communities, how much they're charging, those type of things. Make sure that we're charging appropriate amounts, and that the constructions of new places are not the burden of those costs are not shifted over to the ratepayers.
Any comments? Any public comment? Any comment from the board?
I thought that the committees that were doing the codification were going to look into that the codification effort is not moved forward at a very high rate of speed, but I thought that that would all be taken up with the codification issue.
Isn't it water and sewer that we're waiting on the codification?
These are actually fees that are not, some of them are addressed in the code, some are not. And a lot of these are fees that aren't, you know, will serve letter fee isn't in the code. These are just policy kinds of things. So I guess what this would be is mostly just policy types of things, not those that are addressed in the codes. And the codes would have to address things like, we have a sewer connection fee that hasn't been changed since 1984. And yeah, that needs to be, we're way behind the curve there. We are not charging for what it actually costs us to put in those sewer connections. Or at least it doesn't show that in the codes. But these would be the other kinds of things that are more policy related. So I guess we'd have to remove the things that weren't in the codes and keep the things that are really policy and developer fees and fire fees and things like that that we're just not capturing what our true costs are. So essentially, the ratepayers are subsidizing the developers when these fees are so low like this.
And I think if I think we should be looking at the others as well, because if we wait for codification, that's going to take, you know, that's taken quite a while, and it's going to take a while yet. And if we do this now, then it can go into effect.
We could get input to the codification committees, because we're going to have to get input from staff on these.
I strongly agree that we need to update our fees, but I wonder if there's... We have a water and sewer committee. I don't really see the need for an ad hoc committee to address it.
Mm-hmm. Set a date for the water and sewer committees to meet then on this.
But there are things like fire safety plan, fire flow meters, fire inspections, private fire hydrant charge, fats, oils, and grease program, the sanitation district collection charge, delinquent tax lien on the garbage bill charges.
Virtually all of that, except for the fire inspection, is water or sewer. And there, again, there's a water and sewer committee.
I don't think all of those are code related, though, are they, Gina? I think we were looking through the line items in the budget to see.
Yeah. They weren't all code covered items.
Mm-mm.
Well, the code has, the codification was divided up with a member from the Water and Sewer Committee and another member in each case to look at water code and to look at sewer code. But the Water and Sewer Committee, again, I would think would be probably appropriate to look at.
Who's on the Water and Sewer Committee?
I can answer that question.
I'm sure you could.
I think Jim and I are on the water, and Mary and I are on the sewer. And our last meeting was in.
And Sewer Committee, which is myself and Director Lucy, according to the January 14th, 2009 corrected committee assignments.
I believe you split it up differently, though, for the codification.
For the codification, that's correct.
We did. So we just wanted to capture some of these things that we can do quickly and not charge the ratepayers on some of this stuff. So maybe we can do a quick overview and bring it back to the sewer and water, those things that apply to the codes we can bring back.
It'll get done a whole lot faster if we do it through an ad hoc.
Yeah, water, the codification is just going to take time. It is.
Yeah.
There's a lot to it. So we thought we could maybe capture some of these and defray some of the rate increases. That was the whole plan, I think, on this.
I'm not disagreeing with any of that. It just strikes me that we already have a standing committee.
Okay, well,
and sewer committee,
all right, then when will the standing committee meet to do this?
And this is a standing committee?
No, water and sewer. When can you meet and Mary will be back in town on she'll be back on September 9th. October 9th, yeah.
So that's 2 weeks. I don't know if you want to have a an ad hoc committee that could meet before that time. That might be the way to handle it.
Because you're not going to have time in here, right?
Well, it's until the 9th, I'll have nobody to meet with.
No, but after the 9th, how long does your...
The end of the month.
Yeah. So if we wait for water and sewer, virtually it wouldn't happen until November.
Before it even started.
We could have one meeting when Mary came back, but have an ad hoc committee, that's fine.
Okay.
If we can address it quickly, that's fine.
All right, in the essence of time, we'll ask Vern and Pamela to do this and report back at the next meeting on the 14th. Is that agreeable, Pamela?
Mm-hmm.
Vern?
Yes.
Okay. All right, old business. No changes on any of that?
No change.
Okay, reports of district representatives. I have nothing. Jim?
I've attended actually two sanitation district meetings. One was September 2nd. Items on the agenda were public hearing relating to exemption from county land use regulations for the long-range projects, aeration tanks, and final clarifier. The board there declared an exemption from the county land use regulations. It's rather complicated dealing with the coastal zone and the state laws applying to water projects and exemptions from certain county regulations. There was a contract award for a trunk line manhole upgrade, progress payment for the methane piping replacement that goes to the cogen station there, which is about to come online. They applied for municipal lease financing for the cogen equipment. Probably lease is a misnomer in there, but that's the name of the organization dealing with it. Refurbishment of the fixed film reactor pump, one of the major budget items for this year, authorized solicitation of bids, and they voted to participate in the 1999 Marine Life Protection Act as a stakeholder to future discussions concerning formation of a marine protection area along the coast here. At the next meeting was deferred until September 24th due to a League of Cities meeting that the other members were attending. That meeting was held on the 24th. We issued a use permit to the City of Arroyo Grande for the Pacific Coast Railway Monument. Approved progress payment number 7 for the energy services project. That's the cogen installation, which again is nearing completion. Authorized purchase of a portable air compressor. Again, this is one that was not able to meet air quality standards. And the cogen municipal lease financing was approved at that meeting. We also received a report on RV waste dumping. There is concern again about chemicals coming into the plant due to RVs dumping treatment chemicals in the Lesage dumping station. So they're going to try to figure out how to minimize the impacts of that. And once again, we would ask everyone to please be careful of any chemicals or things like that. It's not to be disposed of down the sanitary sewers. It could end up causing the plant to not meet its discharge requirements, and that would result in lots of fines that would have to be passed through to the ratepayers. So please be careful of any chemicals or anything like that. Dispose of those properly as hazardous waste, and please do not dump them in the sanitary sewers.
Thank you. Vern?
Yes. I attended the Oceano Advisory Council meeting. Most of the meeting consisted of a presentation from a developer out of Los Osos on the subject of closure and development of the Oceano Airport. So there's someone interested in going through the process of getting the airport closed and developing that land. We'll be meeting again on it next month, and and talking about how to set up and proceed at this point, or possibly setting up some town hall meetings to get public input on this idea. That was most of the advisory council meeting. Zone 11A met, and I attended that. And the progress report on the creek, and we have the final version of the conceptual plan of what needs to be done on there. And the conceptual plan is basically about 30% of the engineering is done, and toward what's, you know, what needs to be done. So they have a first run estimate of the costs involved. But of course, these costs don't include a number of things that end up popping up during the final engineering and things like that. So you can expect this to be the first amount, but not the actual amount that it ends up being. But to clean out, part of it is to clean out the bottom of the creek, and they're looking at $1,374,000 as an estimate on that part. Sets up a low flow and a high flow channel, and they'll be doing a little bit of construction, temporary type construction with poles and stuff to block sediment movement, to keep a low flow channel and then a high flow channel afterwards. And that would be done. And then there's two possibilities of work on the banks and raising the banks. And it'll depend on what kind of funding can be acquired or not. If they do the minimum, the alternative 3A, which is what they've been talking about, you're looking at, so far, the estimated cost is $2.2 million. And if they are able to do the full boat rehab on the banks, which is the alternative 3C, you're looking at $9.3 million. And those would hopefully come in forms of, most of it in forms of state grants, state and federal grants.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. I hate to interrupt you. However, it is now approaching 10:30. Another 15 minutes, would that take care of?
I shouldn't take that long, but we do still have not much left on the agenda items.
Let's try to do it in the next 15 minutes.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. All right, so that pretty much takes care of Zone 11A, and then the Personnel Committee met, but immediately just adjourned, and then we had a little bit of discussion afterwards, but not much of anything there.
Pamela?
I'm reporting on Zone 3, the September 17th meeting. Lopez Lake level is at 50.8%, not quite 51%. And right now, last year we were at 62.5%, so we just keep going down and down. They've had odor problems, and someone here at the public meeting said they also had taste problems, and they were adding carbon to bring that problem back to normal. It was an algae bloom type of thing. What we are concerned about is they're operating the Lopez outside of our safe field, we are sending downstream releases at 4 million gallons a day rather than 3.25 million gallons a day. So we're using more than what is safe yield, and that is quite a large concern. Actually, we're responding to the ag users who are requesting more water be sent down. So that's something everybody is concerned about. There was discussion about the habitat conservation plan for steelhead. We're going to have the person who reviews that, Anthony Spina, at our next November meeting so we can ask questions. So we are going to prepare a lot of questions in advance, give them to him, so he can answer those. This HPC, it's called, was submitted 4 years ago. It's been taking a very, very long time, and it's costing the zone a lot of money in released flows. And they're figuring it's $1.091 million that has been spent on it's the steelhead protection plan. The good news is we have no invasive mussels in Lopez Lake. In fact, we don't have them anywhere in this county. Nacimiento is lucky, or in a way they're lucky, because they can check all of their water level is so low that all of their docks and so forth are standing high and dry. So there are no mussels. They are checking those. There is good news perhaps on the horizon. They are using a bacterium to attack the quagga mussels, and that seems to be a solution for the quagga mussels. It's better than we have heard of. There is good news on the plant efficiency. The pall membranes, apparently other plants have been operating 10 to 12 years and have never had to do the membrane replacement. These are the filters in the plant. They cost $600,000 to replace them, just to replace the membranes themselves, but they're being told by the Paul Corporation that they've never had to replace membranes, which is good news. 10 to 12 years or more or longer. We are proceeding with the sludge beds. Those are two ponds to hold excess water that is released from the plant. And that is running $800,000, they believe, to do two ponds and complete their whole. This is the whole sludge pond. Completion will be done by then. But they need a place to put the extra water when they are treating certain things in the plant. Another good news is we've talked about the acid suppression project and the high alkalinity and the scaling on all the pipes and so forth. It seems that the scale deposits have not been are not as severe now as before. It's reduced. The plant operators think that perhaps the new cement was responsible for this. But they are re-evaluating to see if we do need to put in the pH CO2 acid suppression to adjust the pH to prevent the scaling on all of the pipes and so forth in the plant. It's good news because that was going to be a very expensive project. The spillway raise project, everyone was told at the meeting that Oceana will not participate in that project. We are planning to look into the drought buffer program, and that's what we'll be hearing about toward the end of this month. So once our meeting on October 28th will address the drought buffer program. So I think those are just I have to say about budget, Zone 3 budget, we've had many projects canceled, so we're 20% under budget on those projects this year. The bad thing is we're over about 11% on water treatment and chemicals. The operation of the plant just is taking more chemicals. And we are under budget on non-routine operation and maintenance. So we are going to be getting a credit next quarter. They didn't want to say how much that would be, but I mentioned that when we were going through the budget. So that's the quick overview.
Thank you. Mary is not here. Any questions of the board regarding the reports? Seeing none. Interim General Manager, items for discussion.
Sewer rehabilitation project. We went over the CBDG funds and the DRI. CBDG was for $222,000. We can spend those funds. We're limited to that amount right now. The DRI funds were approved. However, the state housing took so long in returning the contract that their own self-imposed deadline of September 30th expires today. And so we need an extension before we can even expend any of those funds. And okay. The county has asked the state for an extension, so we'll have to wait. Halcyon Mobile Homes, you reported we got paid for that. We gave our 30-day notice as required to the city of Arroyo Grande. So hopefully your new general manager at some point will be reporting to you. This project is completely closed.
Great.
It is not completely closed yet, just very close. In the other news, I kind of hinted around about three vacancies in the administrative department. And, you know, there was a public member asking how many people are there. There's five. Of the five, four will be gone by the end of next week. So you'll have four vacancies.
Actually, one being replaced.
And one you just replaced tonight.
Yeah.
So you'll have three vacancies.
Of three.
New manager of three vacancies to deal with. That's all that I have.
Okay. Board member items for discussion?
Go ahead.
Nothing. Vern? Only thing I want to say is, again, thank you, Kevin, for your service to us.
Thank you for thanking me.
We'll miss you.
I enjoyed it very much.
Any public comment? Seeing none. Any written communications received after the agenda?
No, none. No.
Okay. Again, welcome. Looking forward to working with you. And this meeting is now adjourned.